Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Ooh,
all right. I died. It's not Eve that's weak, dude. It's you that's weak, dude.
That sucks. And I guess I'm slow and Maggie's not. I get it.
She starts with a fucking speed up pill, dude.
She's slow as fuck.
Fix that.
Bitch needs to learn how to run.
Bitch better run.
Bitch better run.
Bitch better run.
I see your third eye there.
For real, huh? A little freckle.
Welcome, everybody, to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 295. This is Jorge.
This is Matt.
This is Rhett.
Hi, guys.
How's it going?
Level this week.
What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean?
Is it the magic of the film that we're going to review? What is it?
It's a something of the film, that's for sure. How's it going, fellas? How you doing?
Same old shit.
I'm doing pretty good. I'm feeling behind on certain things, but then I remembered, well, you can't worry about it the whole rest of the day because it's not getting done. So I'm practicing leaving things where they are. And how about you?
I'm anxiety riddled and stressed out all the time. Thank you.
Yeah, same. Little bouts of depression sprinkled in.
Yeah. With you know, looms into madness every so often. But yeah. It's good.
Sauce
for the goose.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sauce for the goose is pretty good most of the time.
Most of the time.
Depends on what the sauce is.
Last week, the goose or the sauce wasn't very good for me.
Yeah, you were in a
special sauce.
You were in a shit ass mood.
You could tell, huh? It was tough.
I knew you were getting all pissed off when we started talking shit about Angel.
Hey, we weren't talking shit.
You were.
I don't think we were. We were saying it was corny. I was saying it was boring and nothing happened. And like,
you know. I said it was corny, but I backed up my points.
You did.
I wasn't disparaging without
Louis Cipher.
I'm gonna name my son Louis Cipher.
There you go.
Louis Cipher Creole.
Louis Cipher.
Cifieri. Guy Fieri.
Louis Cifieri.
That's a mistake right there.
It's good.
Mr. Natas.
It's good.
Oh, I see what you said.
Shut up.
That's very clever. It's like women naming their kids Nevaeh. It's like heaven backwards.
Oh, God.
People actually do that.
They do, because people are dumb.
When we say people, describe what kind of people you mean.
Old.
I mean, white. Dumbass people.
Bitches.
Old white bitches. Even if they're like 20, they automatically turn immediately into old white bitches. Yeah.
Have you ever named your child like Tristan? Or... Or something like that.
You know what else too? They took like Logan. They're like, oh, Logan, this, or Ryder. This is my son,
bro,
Ryder.
My best friend.
Or if your name is Brandy with an I, wait a minute.
My best friend named her daughter Logan. No joke.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yep. I say they took it because that's fucking Wolverine's name. And it like, yeah, he could pull it off because he's Wolverine.
Yeah, he's Wolverine.
But it's like, oh, I'm going to name my son Logan. Like, you want your kid to be a traumatized 5'4", highly violent, amnesiac motherfucker.
Glenn Danzig.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That was always fan casting for Wolverine, like before the movies
came out. But then I realized Danzig can't act. And then I was like, well, what's the point?
Thank God that didn't happen.
When did you realize that Danzig couldn't act?
When I saw Veronica.
Growing up, I wanted Mel Gibson because I saw Lethal Weapon and I'm like, yeah.
Okay, I could see it.
But then you were like, does Wolverine hate the Jews? And then
Wolverine.
You think?
If he's drunk with a cigar on his fucking on his Harley, probably.
He probably does.
And then I wanted Tom Cruise as Cyclops and Nicole Kidman as Jean Grey.
That'd be a good mix.
And then I wanted Schwarzenegger as Colossus.
Oh, I could get behind that.
Fuck yeah. And I wanted Rutger motherfucking Hauer as Magneto, but you know, there we go. But
then he did Split Second.
And I wanted Patrick Stewart as Professor X. And
hey, that worked out.
That fucking happened.
Worked out pretty good.
Yeah. We're 1 out of 10.
Yeah.
It's pretty good fantasy casting, though.
Thank you. Would have been a little expensive at the time.
Yeah. But I mean, they did the Expendables, so you could make it happen.
They're all, we'll get a bunch of no names instead, and here's Halle Berry and Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
James Marsden was in that movie?
James Marsden. I mean, Hugh Jack, you know, they all,
yeah,
they were star-making performances, not star performances.
Yeah.
Watched anything this time?
Probably not. I don't think so. I did watch Night Stalker. That was good.
What is that?
Bitch, you watched it like last week.
I didn't watch Oh, I thought you said Night Soccer.
Night Stalker.
This motherfucker's watching soccer at night, evening soccer.
No. Are you watching British football, you fuck?
Fuck no.
Night Soccer. Football. I'm like, damn, what fucking loony movie is this?
No.
What kind of stupid asshole are you?
All these wannabe immediate cult movies. Night Soccer.
Night Stalker.
Night Sod.
What'd you think?
It was good.
It's entertaining, right?
It was. I mean, I liked the way it was.
It's entertaining, don't you think?
Well, I mean, it's, yeah.
Well,
it's
that's
true crime, but like they presented it in a really like graphic way. They didn't pull any punches. They're like, this is exactly how fucked up this was, because a lot of people, especially now, like romanticize serial killers and stuff. And I think they did a really good job of reminding you, like, hey, this may seem interesting, but like, look how fucked up this person really was.
But then they did a great job of, when they're cutting to the next episode, playing some like really slick fucking electro music.
Yeah. And you were like, well, fuck, now I'm on a high note. It's like when you're delivering like dialogue and you're supposed to end on the upswing.
That's what, like, I mean, I can see how it's problematic, like, because they sensationalize it a little bit, but it's like, well, fucking, you know.
Well, see, but in this, they sensationalized the cops. Like, you know, they did show how he was kind of like a celebrity, but they more so were like,
that was pretty amazing,
was on how great the cops were. And those cops actually, like,
they were great detectives.
Yeah, you know, like most of the time it's like, okay, well, cops are dicks and like they're assholes, but these guys, you're actually like, well, yeah, I'm rooting for them.
Well, and you know
defund the police. The cops were abusive, but you didn't hear about it because there was no internet.
There was a part where the cop was like,
they do come in handy when they're
pulled this
good
guy
detectives.
In, I was gonna punch him in the fucking car, and then like he gave me a name. And
yeah, we might have a social worker solve certain problems, but hunting a serial killer, we could leave to good detectives. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, so that was pretty good.
That would be good.
And then there's another show on Netflix I started watching called I Am a Killer. And it's basically like...
you're playing a game called Hunt a Killer.
And I am playing Hunt a Killer. I Am a Killer is like a show about people who killed, but it was like circumstantial, you know, like there was a guy who like got raped a bunch growing up. And then he just went into a blackened rage and killed his grandparents. And like
a blackened rage.
I mean, like a blackout rage.
I skipped the grandparents killing. What? Go ahead.
Oh yeah. Well, not like a drunken blackout rage. Like, it's just, you know, he got triggered and he said he just lost track of time.
Oh, so he's a millennial.
Woke up and
No.
This was because he's been in jail for like 22 years at this point.
No, the Emperor and Revenge of the Sith. He's all, no, you will die. You haven't seen that, sorry.
No, wait, I have. Yeah.
Like once.
I've seen like every Star Wars movie once. But yeah, that's pretty much all I watched, because we just recorded like 4 days ago, right?
That's true.
That's not true, is it?
Yeah, I think we recorded on Thursday.
Yeah.
Is that 4 days ago?
Yeah.
What day is it today?
Tuesday, 5 days ago.
Damn, I watched a lot of shit for that little period of time.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
That's a good thing I don't watch anything, because then Rhett takes up like this huge chunk of time.
No. Last week was...
He's like, no.
Before was like a lot of shit.
But yeah.
That week before was like... Sorcerer, by the way, again, is really good.
Cool.
I watched that Heaven's Gate cult HBO Max thing, and I had heard from you, you know, it's...
Yeah.
Did you finish it?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it wrapped up well, and that's the thing. I was prepared for it to be slower than what I expected. I think, I mean, overall, I think it's well done. I think 4 hours is probably unnecessary. Mm-hmm. But I did like some of the stuff, of course, they went into with the... They had that test that has to do with basically belief based on the crowd. I forget what it's called.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
That's all, like, you know. And then also where it wrapped up, though, I thought was very sad, like, effectively, because like the guy who walked out of the thing before they all fucking killed themselves, and his girlfriend like did it, and he can't like talk and all that shit. It's just like, these people are fucking wrecked.
Yeah.
Just like, and I'm not saying it's not their fault and they're stupid and blah, 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 but... You know, there's other cults like the military where you can go get killed and get a medal for it. So, you know, oh, wait a minute.
No, they don't give medals to dead people, do they?
pretty sure they do.
Do they?
They don't impeach you if you're not out of office, but they will give you a medal after you're dead, even though it will mean nothing to your corpse.
Gotcha.
Damn, dude. That was 22 years ago.
That was a tad radical.
Fuck.
Heaven's Gate?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
I thought the history was really interesting leading up to it, personally. But, I mean, I guess I would. But.
For some reason, I remember it happening, like, before that. Because I remember the person I was hanging out with at the time I heard about it. And I didn't think I heard or I hung out with them at that. It felt like it was more like 95 versus, 97. Like, 97, 98.
And then it was Rancho Santa Fe. It's like, oh, it's where all the rich people live.
Yeah, we're like, oh, it's San Diego. It was like Poway, right?
Rancho
like,
Santa Fe.
Yeah.
I watched a film called Videodrome.
Yeah. Again.
Yeah. So Sophia had never seen. Hi, Sophia.
Wait, how has she never seen it? Haven't you watched it like 13 times in the last 6 months?
No, not at all. And that's why I was like jonesing for it. And also I was kind of eager to see what she thinks. And she doesn't love that movie. But it's one, though, that came up. It kept coming up in conversation, like, repeatedly for the next few days. And that's why I was like, it was relevant.
Brett kept bringing it up.
No, because it was relevant to stuff going
on.
He's
like, this is what you don't get about the movie.
Well, no, because it's like, I'm watching. I've had this experience with the movie many times where I'm watching it and I like it. But then I'm like, okay, cool. I had this, like, surface encounter with this movie. And then, like, shit happens in the world. And it's like, motherfucking Videodrome, right? There it is. There it is right now.
Yeah, I'm in Videodrome right now. I'm in
motherfucking Videodrome. Like, for real, with this mic in my face, I'm going to suck this.
Wait. I'm going to suck this mechanical cock.
Yeah.
No, he just said he wasn't going to.
That's true.
But if it's mechanical, he might.
Oh, that's true. Android on Android.
But we'll cop.
Action. Yeah.
Shut down.
Power up for that one.
We watched what we call Room 237. Have you seen that one? It's where they analyze The Shining, and it's all these varying different interpretations of the parallel narrative. Yeah. I love the fucking movie because it's about obsession. It's about artistic interpretation. It's about like the postmodern idea that even if the artist didn't intend it to be there, once the public has it,
once it's ours, it's ours.
The meaning is there. But also it lends itself well to that because Kubrick was like, I'm going to put this here and I'm going to put this here. And it wasn't like anything was left to chance. It was like, you know, so some of those, they have varying, some of those fucking theories sound absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Some of them sound, but still interesting. But I watched a favorite movie of your guys because I had only seen it one time and I wanted to rewatch it. And The Babadook.
Oh, God.
And dude, that I know that kid is something and that actor is something else.
Oh, God.
And I think that is still a fantastic fucking movie. And the ending, that has one of, I think, the best fucking endings.
I do not.
Sure.
Do you like the ending?
I don't like anything about that movie, dude.
Anything?
Nothing.
I thought you just hated the kid.
I hate the kid especially, but nothing about the Babadook.
I liked it until I found out that he wasn't real. Until it was like, oh, it's a physical manifestation. I'm like, oh, great. Okay, yeah, but emotions like, are scary.
Ooh. You're a physical manifestation. Oh, wait a minute.
Okay, yeah, so. I don't like myself either. So what?
Yeah.
I watched The Autopsy of Jane Doe for the first time.
It's good.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was. That's the thing. Like, I had heard really good stuff. And yeah, both of us, Sophia and I, enjoyed it a lot. I've actually felt like it wrapped up right where it was like peaking. And it's like, and then it tied things up within 10 minutes and it was like, okay, but still I couldn't really fault it for much. I thought it was, it's a really cool premise. Like I was like, initially I was kind of like, why, what are they going to fucking do with this? Mm-hmm. I wasn't that like enthusiastic to watch it. So I kept putting it off. And once it got where it was going, I was like, okay, this is cool. But then when it was at its most interesting, it's like, no, we're going to kill him off. And that's that.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
I didn't like it.
At all?
No. Unless, Hans.
I don't remember what George thought.
I distinctly remember not liking it for its cuteness.
Ask Hans. Hans will know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I'll just go listen. I watched a nice little movie called 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, Jesus. Just a feel good, the feel good film of the year.
That is a fucking. Monster film, honestly, it really is. And to mean again, like the director, this isn't the fucking right venue for it, but the director to maintain his purity of intention of why you're gonna do that, because that should have never been depicted like unflinchingly. Mm-hmm. Like it's an important fucking thing, really.
Yeah, man. And Chiwetel Ejiofor is just like fucking
and Lupita And Fassbender having to like dig into like the worst fucking aspects of
They're just putting on clinics like all movie long. And then, that movie's incredible.
And then like what's her name shows up? Sarah Paulson. Always a good sign when she shows up. Like she just plays wonderful human beings most of the time. And then we watched we watched a movie called Color Me Kubrick because we both really enjoyed Room 237. I had seen it years ago, but Color Me Kubrick is about a guy. It's a true story. John Malkovich plays a guy impersonating Stanley Kubrick. It happened in the 90s, and he's a fucking alcoholic, and it's hilarious. I had seen it years ago on IFC, but it's got like middling reviews, but a pretty high IMDb, and I'm like with him. Like I really like this movie. As a con man movie, it's fucking hilarious because he introduces himself to someone, and they're like, "I didn't get your name," and he's like, "Oh, I'm Stanley Kubrick." And they believe him. They fucking believe him. And then he tells them like they should do stuff. And because it's him, they think it's him. They have this hubris where they're like, okay, yeah, I'll go do a show in Vegas. And they like hire musicians and everything. And then he ditches out on them. And because he told him he had like hookups and everything there. And then he just leaves. It's fucking hilarious. Anyway, that's what we watched.
Nice.
So a good mixture of horror stuff with a little bit of other stuff.
Nice. Mm. We've continued to watch Search Party. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. I still enjoy that show. New York hipsters getting what's coming to them. I like it.
And is it paying off?
Yeah, it's good. We got to some fucky stuff. Yeah. Season 3 is good.
I keep seeing that advertised on HBO Max, mm-hmm. right?
It's good.
I would watch it maybe if I had HBO Max.
I'll give it to you.
Don't you have money to burn, quote unquote?
No.
Not anymore. He doesn't.
No, I don't.
Why not, dude?
Get into that later.
It's a good thing you didn't spend all that, though.
Yeah, huh. Fair enough.
Any news we should get to before we take a break?
There was stuff I looked at, but I don't remember.
Nothing super interesting anyway.
Nothing is interesting ever right now.
Nope. It's all same old shit all the time. Till we die.
Viggo and Cronenberg are working on a new movie together, dude.
Like Viggo the Carpathian, dude?
Viggo Mortensen directs Cronenberg in a movie he's doing. So Viggo's got his first Viggo Mortensen directing gig. They did Eastern Promises.
I'm glad that you had to re-clarify Viggo Mortensen. Yes,
it's fucking Aragorn or whatever his name is.
Hey, dude, did you know that when he kicks the helmet? And,
well, because I could have been talking about he is Viggo.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
What?
What? Where's your fucking picture you used to have in your bathroom years ago?
Oh, dude, asshole broke it.
Way before this podcast, he had that in his bathroom.
Yeah.
It's weird. It was one of like the highest liked Instagram posts we ever had was when that thing broke off the back of his door.
Oh, I was so bummed out, dude. Some asshole.
Who was it?
Did you have a party here or something? What happened?
I don't remember. I think, yes.
It was you.
It wasn't me.
It was in the kids' bathroom, so I wasn't here. And all that, but yeah, that was at the fucking La Mesa house that we've had Viggo in the bathroom since the La Mesa house.
You had Viggo in the bathroom in National City.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's true, dude.
All right, well, we're gonna take a quick break. Come back to talk about a little movie. Fuck, dude. Fuck. Hey, Matthew, guess what?
Yeah, buddy.
We are back.
Huzzah!
Huzzah, nerd! What are you laughing at?
Nerds.
Nerds!
You know what else is cooler than nerds, dude? What's that, bro? Patreon, homie.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Why don't you tell me about it?
Nah, this is your turn, bro.
It's not my turn.
I'll tell you about it. You know what? In 2000 and in 2012, these crazy motherfuckers convinced everybody the world was ending. They promised the world was ending, and they told you to send all of your money, and they took it all, and they didn't deliver. All we do is promise that we're going to bring you mediocre horror content on a weekly basis, and we have been delivering
and it's
for almost 8 years.
Barely horror at this point.
And we don't even want all of your money. We just want a little bit, but then we're going to give you other stuff in return, like exclusive content, bonus merchandise, and you know, all this other shit. We just did an episode on Hellbent, a gay slasher from 2004. That was fun as fuck.
Guess what? And it is hella gay.
And you didn't get it because you're not part of Patreon. So go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast and help us fulfill our doomsday prophecy, I guess.
That was pretty good, dude.
That was really good. I took a breath.
I'm rather impressed.
You spit mad game, yo.
Yeah.
Well, the Who Goes There podcast watched 2020s, 2021s, depending on when you watch it, when it was released. Psycho Goreman, directed by Stephen Kostansky, also written by that fucker.
Sin neckbreaker.
Starring Stephen Vlahos, Matthew Namaber, Kristen McCullough, Rick Amsbury, Adam Brooks,
good.
Scout Flint, Stacey Gagnon. What kind of name? What kind of last name is Gagnon?
Gagnon is dick.
Alexis Kara Hansi, Nita Josie Hanna. Not going to work here anymore, that's for sure. And Robert Homer as the zombie cop.
Robert Palmer. Hell
Robert,
yeah.
His name is
good
Robert.
Good to see him
Palmer.
Getting healthy again.
Jesus Christ. Oh, speaking of not getting healthy, Dustin Diamond, dude. Yeah. Hella dead.
George killed him.
I think we killed him.
What? Why do you think we killed
because
him?
Because you remember a few episodes ago, maybe like a few months ago, we were talking about people that we thought were dead. And I was like, oh, Dustin Diamond, that guy's fucking dead, isn't he?
The intention.
And then we looked him up. And he was not dead. And I go, no one this.
You pierced through the veil of this universe to the multiverse right next to us.
I shuffled him loose, his mortal coil.
The Hadron Collider was like,
and it got you. I was pulled up right at that moment.
Yeah.
Was that the collider or are you powering down?
No, that was powering up, definitely. That was.
It could be both.
That was two hosen big Briggs.
Powering down is when RoboCop is malfunctioning and it looks much different.
Or when he's getting electrocuted. He's all
like, in part two? Yeah. Which Matt still needs to see. He will love it.
I don't think I do.
Yeah. Matthew?
Yeah.
What'd you think of Psycho Goreman?
I thought it was the most wonderful film in the world. And then I watched it a second time, and I think it loses a lot of its charm the second time around. That being said, it's fucking hilarious. It's a bloody good time, and I rather enjoyed it.
Cool. Riggedy Rhett.
I remember when Jessup was on the show with us last year, months and months ago, in 2020. And what did he do with us? He did that... world-conquering classic.
Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Hell Comes to Motherfucking Frogtown.
That's a good movie.
The Frogger! But Frogger he indeed. Said we should look into Psycho Goreman. You know, I remember getting excited about it at the time. And he was right. I really enjoyed this. In fact, I rented it as soon as it was available because, well, why not? I wanted something to rent. The thing is, like, with me, though, there's all these films, because it's so niche now, they are very eager to be immediate cult classics. And when you have them doing that on purpose, that can backfire a lot, I think. What prevented that from happening here to me was there was some actually charming, inventive stuff. Like I thought, well, we'll get to it. Yeah. But I think it barely cleared that because some of it I thought was really just fucking ingenious. That the overall aesthetic, it's like the Power Rangers villains.
Yeah.
But like super violent. And it felt at times like a live action Aqua Teen episode, like when they're going through the history on the planet.
Yep.
And then if I think of like the Guyver or Troma films, like if you smashed the 90s Guyver movie and certain trauma movies, the vibe of it with like, Power Rangers, and it's a weird fucking blend of things, but it's a pretty, sometimes I think pretty inspired one.
It's like E.T. if E.T. could fuck shit up.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys remember this from last year or the year before. Was it 2 years ago? Maybe? That
I don't
fake,
remember stuff from
that
yesterday.
Fake Capri Sun commercial where the kids
are. Oh, yeah.
And they all morph into this like awful mutant. So
I think that was like 5 years ago.
Is that 5 years ago?
It was a long time ago.
From last year. It's like an actual Capri Sun commercial.
I kind of felt like this was just a fucking extended commercial. And They were like, well, we've got these really rad practical effects and these really incredible creature effects and these costumes, but what are we gonna do in the middle? We can't just have like a 20-minute montage of monsters fighting, can we? And I'm like, yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can.
You can do that. You do that.
Nope, you get them in a band.
No, you got this really weird extended universe Capri Sun commercial, and I'm kind of like bored in between these sections of fun.
The thing that prevented me from getting, go ahead.
What I will say is that I think despite those shortcomings, I think this is a really clever film and it's pretty charming most of the time. That little girl can go ahead and get the hell on.
For what? Get on. She's good.
She can go ahead and join the Babadook kid in the back of the car.
No, I thought that girl was good. I'm like, she's going to be a star.
She saved the fucking movie.
And in her words, frick off.
Nope.
Frig off.
You didn't even watch the movie.
I saw someone on Jessup's post about it say the same thing. And I was like, what?
I do not like her. You know what I don't like? I don't like little kids in movies that are like a little too precocious for their own good. And everybody's like, ah, shucks. Kids,
I wouldn't even call. Dude,
I like it.
Everything you said when it was boring, like the first 10 minutes, I'm like, and then she started saying funny shit, and then she said more. Was really good.
When did she actually say funny shit?
Almost, dude. It got to a point where I literally think, even above the practical effects, were it not for that little girl, I would be bored as fuck with this movie.
I agree.
The actual comedy comes from that dad. I will say,
it's like it made total sense. Perfect. They were like connected. The daughter and the dad had this thing against the others, which was fucking cool to me. What they did with the mom, how she goes with those angelic fucktards, you know, those control freaks and all that.
The Templars, homie.
That was dope. It reminded me a bit of like, remember Spawn comics in the 90s and they had the Redeemers?
Yep.
Yeah, it was like that. Like they're from heaven, but they're assholes. You know, it's like it was playing with that.
Well, it's kind of like how the Diablo video games are, where even the angelic fuckers are.
Well, I don't think it's a stretch. This guy probably is familiar with both, you know. This is the guy who did The Void, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken.
Oh. Which I think is, I think this is far better than The Void in terms of like movie, like
different tone entirely, right?
From beat to beat. Well, yeah. No. Obviously.
I haven't seen The Void yet.
But The
Void is very like serious.
I think even when this movie's boring, it's at least engaging.
It's kind of interesting he could do both.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, I mean, I dug it. I did. I just there's large sections like 10 minutes long where I'm like, bro.
I get
it. Let's get a move on.
I get it because like when I was watching it last night, the first 10-15 minutes I was loving it, and then when it got to the little scene with the band, I was like, man, this feels like it's, you know, gonna be almost over because like now they're just doing this band thing. It was like 25 minutes into the movie. So I feel like it definitely had
some lulls,
but like
not like LOLs.
But it also had some lulls.
Some lulls and lulls.
Lulls and lulls.
So like I agree. It did have like little down parts, but like Rhett said, the movie was fun for like the whole thing. And that little girl, I don't know what fucking planet you're from. It ain't Gygax, which is Gary Gygax, by the way. Fucking Dungeons.
Are you?
Yeah,
are you
nerd ass?
Are you fucking mansplaining me about Dungeons and Dragons, you fuck?
Because anytime you explain is mansplaining.
Yeah, that's tight. And
fuck that.
Yeah, no, that little girl was great, man. Like, she's going to be a star. She can act her ass off.
Okay.
I don't know if she's going to be a star, but she's been great in there. She's what, like 11? And she's like... Well, she carried this whole movie, basically.
Look. The director knew what Tony wanted, and she has what she has is comedic timing. Because you couldn't fucking, you can't coach an actor that much at that age to, can you say it like this? He would literally have to be doing it like over and over and over again. She said some truly, like where the movie is, like I said, it ran the risk to me of feeling like a forced wannabe cult classic. Where it transcended that was when it leaned into its authentic weirdness. And a lot of that was the girl. It was some of the ideas with like the fucking, the lore and the kills.
But yeah, they really went into a lot with doing that lore. Like the space scenes.
I love that shit, man.
Like when they had all the villains in space.
When he starts talking about like the attack on the bridge, and I was like, no, go back to that. Yeah. I want to see.
I was bummed because they kept cutting them off, you know, but that further made like the little girl more funny. It's like, okay, yeah, great. You're telling us this very compelling story, but we don't give a shit.
Well,
like,
and then I saw that the most disposable character is the brother.
Oh,
and
he
then,
sucks.
And I love it
because he doesn't remember his name.
But they get very clear on that. Apparently they knew that in the script and it was intentional, or they knew it once they started shooting. And Psycho Gorman can't remember his name.
Yeah. And I'm like, at the end where he's like, and boy, he's like, yes, boy.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. And then it was in the middle of a little thing, and I'm like, okay, the girl's carrying it here. I know you don't like her. Her and the fucking kid from the Babadook.
Yeah, same.
I'll watch that.
Same car. Same. Put them in the back of the car. One can be screaming, and one could be singing about Frick.
Jennifer Kent.
She's singing about how fucking tight she is.
But then they have this confrontation with all those other fucks and the boys.
Dude, that part, like, that little Japanese ghost scared, like, that kind of scared the fuck out of me.
That entire scene, that was like a 15-minute scene where you...
So inventive.
So inventive, and those creatures that they like the trash can full of guts. Yeah. I was like, this is what I want to see more of. I think that stuff, whoever came up in their mind pussy, those things, more of that.
And when the shit they were saying, like, I can't remember offhand because it was a week ago now, and I only seen it once, and I'd like to see it again. But so hopefully it'll be available on a streaming service soon. But
I think it's coming to Shudder soon.
Yeah. It seems like,
as expected,
that would be a good move. But some of the stuff that they were saying, even some of the monologues from Psycho Gorman, at first it's like, okay, I've seen this kind of thing before, but then he would really like lean into it and it kept going and going. And I'm like, this is up my alley now.
Dude, I know. Now it's up my alley. There were moments where I was like, dude, that would be Rhett as a fucking, as a demon. Because he was like, of course, food means nothing. Except for when it's
a warrior's death.
Except it's a warrior's death. And
it's
I'm like,
honor to be consumed.
That's dope.
But like,
you are Psycho Gorman.
Thank
you,
man. Nobody else sees it as an honor. Only him. Like, he's always the one. So that's like
me for that. Like, I would. I like.
But she ends up accepting the fact that it's an honor because she wanted to see it again the second time.
Who did?
The little girl.
Well, the little girl did. Yeah. Sure, but like everybody else, the people that he actually gave the honorable death to were like, no, not that. Anything but that.
Dude, that honorable death thing, by the way, great practical effects.
Mm-hmm.
And like. Yeah. And when it shows like the brother, he's like throwing up in his mouth and shit. Like that's
the only thing that kind of, and maybe this was intentional, but when fucking Psycho Gorman puts on that cowboy hat, I was like, it's Jeepers Creepers, dude.
You know what?
He was dressed as a homeboy from Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Speaking of which, do you find it like discouraging how many people still defend Jeepers Creepers online?
Bro, what do you mean? Jeepers Creepers is tight.
Is it though?
Yeah.
The first one
is good.
We'd had a whole episode about this.
I remember I saw that in the theater.
We watched Jeepers Creepers 2 and then...
Did we do 2?
Yeah, we did 2 because and after we had watched that, the controversy about the director had come out. And so we made a conscious decision not to watch the third one and not to review it.
No, I watched it. It was shit.
Okay, right, and you have to fucking separate the... You don't have to, but... Well, see, but in order for you to say the first one's
we
good...
We had a big discussion.
We had an episode about discussing, you know, like, can we separate? And then in that instance, I couldn't.
I could, because I liked Jeepers Creepers 1.
It's hard for me... It's harder for me because of what kind of movie it is, too. So it's just like, it comes off just like...
What do you mean what kind of movie it is?
It's a horror slashery movie, and it's like, there's victims and all this kind... And it's like, nah... No, it just colors it too much for me in this case.
Yep.
It's not like fucking Polanski doing The Pianist. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? This is a real good movie. The Pianist about a fucking, this is real good with fucking Brody's crook nose, Johnny nose with Adrian Brody and the Holocaust.
Crook nose, Johnny nose?
What's a Johnny nose?
Because he's got he's got that nose, man. But.
Apparently, that's a Johnny nose.
Yeah. It's a crook nose.
Actually, you know what's funny about Johnny. That? I have an Uncle John, and he's kind of a fucked up nose.
There you go.
Crook nose.
I had a friend,
Johnny.
Jesse, that had a crooked nose.
You know where that came from? Like, I was smoking weed with George Ortega, and we were watching the Jetsons, and he looks at me, he's like, crook nose, Johnny. And I just dredged it up out of my subconscious now.
It's an in-joke with him and one person.
In-joke within an in-joke. And now that man is a Trump supporter, which is unfortunate.
Oh.
But we're a long ways from Crook Nose Johnny.
Yeah.
But yes, that's why with Polanski, I'm like, okay, this is a fucking great film and I'll push this bullshit to the side. With Jeepers Creepers, I'm like, yeah, go fuck yourself, Jeepers Creepers.
Go ahead and jeep and creep yourself out of here.
I don't think I'll ever be revisiting you, you know? We didn't lose like fucking something that needs to be added to the National Film Registry.
But yeah, I didn't want to derail the Psycho Gorman stuff too much, but I was like, ooh, he's kind of jeepery, creepery, especially in this outfit.
Hmm. Is that a, do you think that's a nod?
I hope not.
Well, maybe.
Ooh, probably that's not good. Not. That's not good.
I hope not. It can't be.
Dude, get on Reddit.
Wait, is he Canadian? Was Victor Salva Canadian? Because this is a Canadian movie, so maybe it is. Maybe it was filmed in like the same town.
Maybe it's actually about human trafficking.
For some reason, I want to say it was Canadian.
Maybe there's a parallel narrative in both films about human trafficking with children. And that's what this, and the adrenochrome. And that's what he's trying to harvest.
Careful, you might accidentally suicide.
Well, threaten me with a good time.
You know what, dude? If you're gonna suicide, at least adrenochrome on your way out.
You know who had every reason to suicide and didn't was the dad. He could have.
He's fucking great.
I felt his pain. What, I feel it.
What was he in before? Was
he? I don't think much.
He looks like
like somebody.
The only thing I can drum up is: do you ever watch Workaholics?
Yes.
You know the guy that's doing the drug test and he's like, you know, you're going to make with the zip and the tinkle and the whatever the fuck. Yeah, that guy. He reminds me of that guy, but it's not him.
It's not him.
But like when he's talking about.
Oh, he was in Father's Day.
Oh, was
he? That's why. He's in Father's Day.
Oh, that makes sense.
Trauma. The trauma connection.
And like when I was looking this movie up, it was suggesting Father's Day.
Someday we'll find it.
Okay. Hell yeah.
He's the main character. He was Ahab.
That's good shit. No wonder he was awesome.
Yeah, all three of us liked Father's Day.
Hell yeah, we did.
What was that? Episode 200, you guys did Alien and Father's Day, which I didn't understand at the time how weird that was. But now that I've been with you guys for a second.
How many episodes has it been? Have you been on?
Over 100.
God damn.
Believe it or not, about a third of your guys' thing.
That's crazy.
That happened fast.
That's... Jesus.
Oh my God.
Fucking weird, man.
Yeah.
Fucking weird, dude.
We've been around long enough to have eras.
Yeah.
The Mikey era.
The Mikey era.
The Chris era.
The Red
era. Android era.
You got
the Robocop era.
You got the Cliff Barton era, the Jason Newsted era, the Trujillo era.
Or so you're Trujillo?
I hope so. Mm. I don't want to be Newsted.
I mean.
But it might be too late.
It's inevitable.
Why do I have to be the bassist?
I mean.
Because here's the thing. Being the bassist in Metallica sucks. You can't even hear the fucking bass in Metallica.
Well, that's true.
So I don't think this is Metallica. For one, we're a three-piece. Generally. Sure. Sometimes a four.
So we're Primus?
We're Primus or Rush or The Police or Nirvana.
I mean.
Or Cream.
I could be Geddy Lee. I mean, like, I can't play like Geddy Lee, but I'll take it.
I could be Geddy Lee.
Yeah, I could be Geddy Lee. Giant fucking dork with tight hair.
You okay over there?
Yeah, good.
Psycho Gorman.
Yeah.
Psycho Gorman. I definitely would recommend it. I know we're not quite wrapping up, but yeah, I'd recommend this to people. If you don't like goofy ass fucking stuff, no.
I would even think this would be fun for people that don't really normally enjoy horror films.
I thought it was going to be... You know? Well, yeah, like they put on the cover, it said like heartwarming and heart ripping. And I mean, like, that's pretty accurate. I thought it was going to be a little more Meatball Massacre, you know, a little more like explodey, bloody guts. But there was a lot of cuteness in it. And I think it helped keep Alia entertained. Because if it would have just been like blood and guts, she would have tuned out, I think.
Sophia was pretty entertained intermittently. She was on and off her phone playing like a, you know, a game and whatnot. So cause it didn't.
Oh, so welcome to my life as also.
Well, I wasn't like
Sophia. Your wife Twitter.
I wasn't like, it wasn't no, like we were watching a Fincher movie and I was like, what are you doing? You know,
so, fucking Ronnie goes like in between, like looking at her buy nothing shit and then playing this like puzzle game. And I'm like, you're missing.
Yeah. She plays a sushi puzzle game. Yes.
You're missing, guy. You're missing the fucking thing, and then she looks up and she's like, "Oh, that's funny." I'm like, "It's not funny. What do you mean it's funny?"
Or when they try to take your attention away from it, here, look at this thing.
Oh fuck!
It's like I don't want to read. Or when she's like,
"I'll be on and off stuff."
Or when she's scrolling fucking Facebook and a video comes up and she lets it go, and I'm like, "Fuck!"
Do that. See, I'm watching a movie.
Oh hell no!
God damn! No, that's not cool.
Neither one of us would do that.
Give it time. Give it time.
Nah, dude, that's just not cool.
That's just a mistake.
As you say, the relationship is new.
Well, that's true. But we started the relationship when we're older.
Doesn't matter.
It does. You were saying about
Sophia?
I think it does. I hope it does.
He was saying about how she was tuning out of the movie.
Oh, no. She was intermittently entertained. She was chuckling at it, thought it was cute and stuff, but it didn't like hold her attention the entire time. And I wasn't like, let me rewind this so you can see this guy rip this dude's face off.
You got to come back.
There were a couple parts actually where I did do that though. I was like, check this out.
Cause it was well, so silly. Some of the practical effects are like, you have to see it.
When he exploded that guy, well, I mean, everybody exploded, but when they made that guy into basically like the statue and he fell over and his head exploded and the mouth was like, thank you.
Yeah.
The part was tight. Oh, and the fucking cop. I almost forgot the cop.
Oh my God, my favorite part. Thank you. Okay. Cause before that, they had two things where the film basically announced it was going to make fun of cops because the girl's like, I don't trust cops. Not one bit. Yeah. And fucking both of us got a kick out of that. And then they mentioned something else with cops. And I'm like, all right, they already made two slams, subtle slams against cops. Let's see what happens here. And the dude is straight up fucking like, well, what's the word? Like retarded? Like he's like, oh, dude,
just popping off death shots whenever he got a chance. Yeah,
I loved it. Like once the gun fused to his hand, he just had unlimited ammo. He just shoots off random shots.
Like that's one of those where if you drain the context and you just walk in, it's like this is clearly trying to say something here. You know what I mean? Like yeah, I thought that depiction was very good. I really appreciated mm-hmm. that. I liked that part.
Just showed how dumb cops were.
The idea was that you could be fucking absolutely, because you can. I mean, there's really, you know, you need a diploma.
I mean, do you?
Maybe you get a GED, which is fine. That's fine. That's great.
Yeah, but you know, most of them don't even have to pass like a physical test. Only the Highway Patrol makes you do like yearly physical not like going to the doctor and getting your nuts squeezed, but like, you know, actually doing like 5Ks or some shit like that.
Exactly.
That's why you get a bunch of fat cops, but Highway Patrol.
Well, look what a lawyer has to go through to interpret the law. But the one, if you're going to enforce it, it's just like,
just kinda, pop off all them death shots. Just
pop off death shots.
Just fucking do the best you can. We appreciate you putting your life on the line. You know, like fucking, I don't know. Ooh. But, what we're wading into. Well, seriously though, I thought that was
commentary, bro. That's what horror is for.
Well, I thought that kind of was
holding up social, a mirror to society.
I couldn't help but think that was a little bit of. I mean, obviously, it's really in bad taste, and that's the movie. You know what I'm saying?
So. Well, I mean, the whole movie is about like a slave rising up and fighting back against his oppressors. So you know, there you go.
Dope. It's Marxist ideology.
He literally was a slave. He was born into slavery. When
the Templars are fucking sitting on top of the shit.
The ones that are sitting on top are telling the other people like, you should be lucky. We didn't fucking murk you too. We liberated you.
Well, and that's the thing too.
Like we liberated Iraq.
You're right. A slave rises up and then his resentment poisons his soul though. And then he becomes like what he hated, the oppressor.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's saved by the innocence. And
but that's what was happening to the little girl too. She got the power, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and she was fucking becoming one of those tyrants. She was becoming one of the Templars.
See what I'm saying? Look at that. And then the mom,
it's a fucking onion, bro. Peel back the layers.
The mom like wanted to be in the club immediately. She's like, yeah, I want to be with these fucking bitches.
Yeah, she was like, let me be on the side of righteousness.
Let me drink the blue pill.
She was the fucking anti-vaxxer mom on Facebook that doesn't actually do her research. And she's like, yeah, I'll join up on your cause. And then it's like, wait, you're willing to kill children? I'm not cool with
that. She's like, what are you doing? It's like, bitch, what did you think they were going to do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
She's like, well, I thought they were going to take out Psycho Gorman, but it's like, no.
Yep. She doesn't believe her children because people who are young can't like know anything. And she's fucking dismissed.
She kept fucking with the dad. And the dad's like, oh, I would do something, but you know, I'm too lazy.
What was that thing where like,
that was pretty good.
Where like the dad drove up and the mom said something. And he's like, huh? So, like, oh yeah, it's like slavery or servitude. And he's like, huh? Sounds like being married to you, Susan. I was like, got her.
No, that bit where the wife goes, what'd you do to the microwave? He's like, just cooked a great meal for my family.
Oh, dude, that whole fucking microwave chicken bit. Like, he's like, yeah, it's my secret recipe. He's like, oh, it's a little tough. Yep, microwave will do that. I was like, holy shit, he cooked the chicken in the microwave.
She ate every bite. No, she didn't.
Dude, like, I seriously expected a single tear to run down his face. And then he has the fucking just meltdown when his TV breaks. Oh, Ollie broke my TV the other day. My TV, our TV the other day. Like, wanted to move it. And I was like, oh, I don't think you should move it. I don't think it would look good over there. I went to go work out and I came back and she moved it. Turned on the TV. Broken.
That's actually ironic because I also have a new TV.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened to your old one?
It's not working.
Oh, I was going to say, let me have it. I'll return the one I bought. Yeah. Could use the money. Yeah.
How does this film compare to something like, you know where I'm going with this, like Mutant Blast?
So like I said, I watched it again right before I came over here. And I think when you're not, like when you know the jokes, they don't land as well.
All right, second
viewing. A lot of the charm was lost on the second viewing. It wasn't boring and it didn't drag, but I did find myself looking at my phone. Mutant Blast like has enough fun for me throughout where like I don't get the level of boredom because it's not like jokes that can only really land one time.
Right. And it's just kind of dense. There's like a lot of stuff back to back to back.
Yeah. And it's so absurdly stupid throughout.
Right.
That, like, it's enjoyable. But like we were saying that Psycho Gorman does have those moments of like lull where it's like, okay, cool. Like
it's a little too grounded.
I think, going through the motions.
Yeah. And I mean like the little band thing, like I question that. And like the singing again at the end, like, I mean, yeah, it's kind of funny as it's happening, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
What do you think of Crazy Ball, dude?
I actually want to play Crazy Ball.
So do I.
It looks fun as fuck. I hope they actually like
lay down the rules.
Yep. They're doing like a big, and the hunky boys bit. Like, I was loving that shit. He's like, I'm not concerned with hunky boys.
Am I? Yeah, that was good.
And then she fucks up his magazine.
Oh, that was like, fucking
my fun. Hunky boy.
My hunky boy.
Yeah. I like that shit. That's good.
You know that I like. I like
hunky that was. Boys. That's what I mean. It felt like even those moments, it felt like really good Adult Swim, but live action.
Yeah, yeah. It did feel
like Adult Swim. You know?
Yeah, and like I didn't even make the Aqua Teen connection when they were doing like the little flashbacks, but like, oh dude, that's the perfect comparison.
You know what? Like when they had that Ghost of Christmas Past robot show up,
and it felt exactly
10,000
like
years ago. Blah blah blah. Well,
even when he sat down, he's like, that's a story that is bathed in the death of a million memories or something like that.
I went right back to Aqua Teen.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like.
Yeah.
That was good shit.
Which is like, you know, if you're going to try to execute live action Aqua Teen like backstory, like
good. That's a good way to do it.
Good, good.
I definitely feel like this movie benefits from watching it with other people. Like,
oh, sure.
You know, the contagious laughter of it and just like the awkwardness. I feel like if you're watching it by yourself, it'd be real easy to kind of tune out. You know what I mean?
I do.
Maybe that's what was happening the second time I watched it.
You did not like that girl, huh?
Nope, not at all.
How did you talk? I mean, she's a big part of the movie, so I'm surprised you liked the movie as much as you did.
I'm saying.
Yeah. He's all, I don't know why I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you're a fan of the practical effects.
Yep.
Which were great, which and makes sense.
Occasional bits.
The practical effects in The Void were real good.
Mm-hmm. Right. That seems to be his. That's why, having not seen The Void, though, like I was saying earlier, but you guys saying it's a more serious film. It looks like a more serious film, the tone. So I'm kind of impressed he can even try to do both sides of that. You know what I mean? Usually tone is something that's kind of consistent for directors.
See, and I liked The Void, but I think like once it got into like the heavy spacey sci-fi stuff, like it didn't hit with George. And for me, it was like, whatever, this isn't really my wheelhouse. So I didn't have any feelings about it.
Well, that seals the deal for me. I got to watch that this week.
It's good. I think it's good. Like if nothing else, you know, that's like for the monster.
There's effects. A scene. It is fucking incredible.
Incredible? Yeah.
Incredible. There's a morgue scene that's fucking...
What was your issue with it? Because your issue is not the sci-fi stuff.
No. It's the same thing. I think that like all of the scenes where things are happening were great. But when it lulls hard. And there's no heart in The Void to like lift
keep
it up.
Keep you invested?
Yeah, no. It's not good.
We shall see.
Yeah, that was a few years ago, I think.
2016, I think, or 15, around there.
Ooh, yeah. We've been doing this a long time.
Oh, man, when you said almost 8 years, my heart dropped.
I know, like, it's like,
fuck.
What have I done with my life?
Well, speaking of which, so this month, you guys, so next week is The Reckoning, right?
Sure, yeah, I think so.
Was that the idea?
I think that's what we agreed on.
Sure.
And then there's that Willy's Wonderland, which is the new... Did you even know the premise of it?
It's Five Nights at Freddy's with Nick Cage.
Yeah. Which to me sounds cool. Unbelievable.
Cool.
Right. Well, if it should, premise wise, but not everything's going to be executed like fucking Mandy or something. You know what I'm saying? So like, yeah.
Sometimes you get that at Con Air.
Whoa.
Yeah, we've been through this.
Sometimes you get the direct-to-video movies he was doing before he hit this horror renaissance.
Pump the brakes.
Those were not good.
Sometimes you get Leaving Las Vegas.
Whoa!
Which is fantastic.
Yeah. Whoa!
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's good shit.
Sometimes you get adaptation.
I thought he was...
No, that's when he actually shows he can act.
Watch this. Sometimes you get Matchstick Men.
Now we're talking.
Sometimes you get Vampire's Kiss. Mm. Sometimes you get the Wicker Man.
Good.
Wicker
Man. Sometimes you get the Family Man.
Ooh,
and then
with the bow and arrow.
Then my old white bitch parents watch that 1,000 times.
Yes.
I don't know why they sometimes love that movie.
Sometimes you get Ghost Rider, dude.
Oh my God! What the fuck?
Wait, Ghost Rider or Ghost Writer?
Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
Yeah, but Ghost Writer was better. Yeah.
The show?
Yeah.
I was so hyped about that show. It came on after the fucking Batman animated series and shit. And then I watched it. I'm like,
It was always so hard to find that fucking show. Like, I was watching that shit when it was on KPBS and it was like impossible to find. It was like random days. Were you looking it up?
No, there's a movie. So it's the same. It's
the same director?
Not the same director, but it's got the dad. Same actor as Father's Day, called The Editor. And it's a film editor gets embroiled in a string of murders, and it looks really fucking interesting.
So he's doing pretty good stuff.
2014, so not, I mean, you know.
But nonetheless, that's long enough too where it's
I kind of want to watch it. And he also directed it.
The dad did?
Mm-hmm. Hell motherfucking yeah. And he's been in Father's Day.
Yeah.
Okay. He's building a resume.
Ooh, and Paz de la Huerta is in that movie.
Building an empire, dude.
All right. Well, I mean, look, kill all the kids in this movie and you got something cool.
He did blow up a kid with a shitty fucking haircut, too.
And he also turned one into a giant brain.
He did.
That was fucking
cool. Oh, dude.
The giant brain.
When that Templar turned that lady into a fucking pulsating meat cube and then just fucking smashed her and wiped it on her face. That was metal as fuck.
And see, like that, too. That's what I'm saying. Like, that is not like, oh, this is trying to be cult classic. It's like, no, that kind of just like lapped a couple movies.
Yeah.
It leaned into it. It's genuine, fucking hard.
Yeah,
Ward. Yeah, like that was a metal cover right there.
And the zaniness kind of makes it more nightmarish. You get what I'm saying?
You mean almost like it was brought on by the Archduke of Nightmares?
Who the fuck was that? What was that shit from again?
From this movie, you fucking gazoony.
Don't be a fucking gazoony. I was like, is that from Angel Heart, dude?
No, bro. That could only fucking be
no, from Angel
Heart. Like, he's like, oh, I don't have a name, but my enemies cry me the Archduke of Nightmares.
Dude, there's no way. Like, there's no way that phrase came out of Psycho Gorman. That had to have been.
That's how Angel he got Heart. The name Psycho Gorman.
That's the thing, too. Like, maybe because this guy did The Void, he started with a real like serious premise here and he's just like, nah, I gotta just make this goofy as fuck.
Maybe. He's like, you know what? It was really hard like being serious for this whole thing.
That was great, man.
Yeah. Yeah, Psycho Gorman. Watch it.
Psycho Gorman.
And then it's an indie film, so pay for it. Support it. It's like $7 on Amazon right now.
Definitely.
And it'll be free on Shudder soon, but that's not really supporting it.
All right, what are we watching next week, boys?
The Reckoning.
Yeah.
The week after is Willy's Wonderland.
I hear bad things.
Yeah, me too.
I hear bad things.
And then Wrong Turn, the original and the remake at the end of the month. So it's a month of new stuff.
And then in March.
St. Maud.
Yeah, St. Maud. We're going to do in March. And maybe some possession themed movies to accompany it.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll see you next week when we talk about another film. We're not sure which one, but probably The Reckoning.
Yeah, the new Neil Marshall movie.
He's the fellow who did The Descent and Nothing Else Good.
Hey, he did Dog Soldiers.
I haven't seen
George that, didn't so. Like Dog Soldiers, but George is wrong about a lot of things.
I kind of enjoyed Dog Soldiers. I didn't.
I think you shit all over Dog Soldiers.
I did not like it.
Because I think I was very offended that you didn't like
it. I didn't like aspects of it.
I think I was angry at how much
But Neil Marshall has been on a...
He did. fucking on a Hellboy
downward slope.
Like, and the thing is, okay, so like he directed Hellboy, but like he also wrote The Descent and he wrote Dog Soldiers. He didn't write, well, he got a writing credit on Hellboy, but like he was the third writer listed. So like, I feel like when he writes and directs, when he gets to like explore his vision for something and like his story, then it's good. But like, he's got to be confined by somebody else's box.
Somebody's view.
It just turns him into a little fleshy meat cube.
Oh, that's right. He did Doomsday, too. I like that film.
I don't know what that is.
It's a post-apocalyptic rager of a film.
Oh. And he did those some of the best episodes of Game of Thrones, too. He did Battle of Blackwater.
Do you know any other directors of Game of Thrones episodes?
I mean, not...
The one who did Thor the Dark World?
Not off name. Like, I don't know them, but they...
Wait, Thor Dark World.
He did great episodes of Game of Thrones, too.
Who did Thor Dark World?
I forget his fucking name, but I was like... I remember when they announced him as the director, I'm like, oh, that's good, that's good.
Taika Waititi did Ragnarok.
Yeah, he's dope. No, he's...
But the episodes of Game of Thrones that stand out, like, they were done by Neil Marshall. He didn't do Red Wedding. Did he do Red Wedding? I know he did Battle of Blackwater Bay.
I don't know, dude. It doesn't matter.
Fucking know, whatever. We'll see how bad this movie
sucks. Yeah, this movie's going to suck.
Or we'll see if, like, you know, it's an outlier and we all like it, even though no one else does.
Maybe he will have his own
Coven?
The Reckoning.
Oh. Mm. Maybe we will be the one.
Next week is The Reckoning's Reckoning.
Jesus Christ. we'll see you idiots next week. Now week.
see you next week. Hate your fucking guts.
See you next week.
Bye. I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, never get out of this world alive.